Hello, this is the Sri Lankan News Podcast. Every day I bring you news headlines from Sri Lanka. If you would like to stay updated about the daily news, politics and international relations of Sri Lanka, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Hello and welcome to the Sri Lankan News Podcast. Today is Thursday, 10th of June, 2021. Starting off with the headlines, Dinamina Sinhala newspaper headline says that 27,000 people who violated the quarantine regulations have been arrested. Cases have been filed against 26,000 out of them, and during the last 24 hours, more than 1,000 people have been arrested for violating quarantine regulations. The Daily FT says that Cabral invites global firms to be part of Sri Lanka's growth story. The Daily Mirror headline reads as experts call a reduction in yield, activists warn of a food scarcity. Meanwhile, the Daily News headline says that Prime Minister instructs to recall retired nurses to service to augment the COVID fight. Taking an in-depth look at these headlines, Dinamina also reports that the Prime Minister has instructed to recall retired nurses to service. According to this news, the Prime Minister has instructed the Minister of Health to recruit retired nursing staff as required on contract basis for service to face the challenges faced by hospitals due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The Daily News also reports that the President has received a positive response from the Japanese Prime Minister for the request of 600,000 AstraZeneca vaccine doses. The Ceylon Today reports that President Gotabaya Rajapaksa's request to Prime Minister of Japan Yoshida Suga for 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccines has been met with positive response. This was disclosed during a meeting held between the President and the Japanese Ambassador to Sri Lanka, Sugiyama Akira, at the Presidential Secretariat yesterday. The Japanese government has also agreed to the President's request to provide medical supplies and healthcare equipment needed to contain the spread of COVID-19 virus. The President also drew the attention of the Japanese ambassador on obtaining technical assistance required for expeditiously responding to the maritime accidents. Ceylon Today reports that the Parliamentary Council concurred with the proposal of President Gotabaya Rajapaksa to appoint Justice Arjuna Obeysekara, the current President of the Court of Appeal, as a judge of the Supreme Court. He will fill the post which fell vacant following the retirement of Justice Sisira Abru. The Parliamentary Council concurred with the proposal to appoint K.P. Fernando, who is a judge of the Court of Appeal, to the post of President of the Court of Appeal. Meanwhile, the Parliamentary Council also agreed to appoint Sasi Mahendran, who is currently a High Court judge, as a judge of the Court of Appeal. He will fill the post, which will fall vacant with the appointment of K.P. Fernando, who is a judge of the Court of Appeal, as the President of the Court of Appeal. In addition, the Parliamentary Council has agreed to appoint Supreme Court Judge L.T.B. Dehidenia as a member of the Judicial Services Commission to fill the vacancy created by the retirement of former Supreme Court Judge Sisira D. Abru. The Morning newspaper reports that Prisoners' Rights Group Committee for Protecting the Rights of Prisoners, also known as CPRP, has made an urgent appeal to the United Nations to inquire into the cases of deaths and the incidents of perpetrated torture of prisoners while in the presence or the custody of the police. In a letter to the UN Special Rapporteur on Extrajudicial, Summary or Arbitrary Executions, Maurice Tidwell-Binns, and the Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, Niles Melzer, the CPRP has noted the alarming rise of deaths where the police is implicated. The CPRP has stated that they have written to the Inspector General of Police about the cases of D. Sunil Indrajit, Chandran Vidushan and Muhammad Ali. The former had died in the presence of the police, while the latter duo had died while in police custody. The morning newspaper also reports that India's concerns over China's influence in Sri Lanka grows with the port city. According to this report, India's concerns over China's growing influence in Sri Lanka have been exacerbated after the approval of controversial legislation governing a Chinese-funded $1.4 billion project to build a special economic zone next to the main port in Colombo. Retired Indian Foreign Secretary Kanwal Sibal has said that the port city development is the third major infrastructure project in Sri Lanka backed by China, and the Indian government has grown increasingly concerned that Beijing is using billions of dollars in funding to expand its geopolitical reach in the Indian Ocean area, which has traditionally been regarded as within India's sphere of influence. Sri Lanka has also been a crucial staging post for much of the cargo coming in and out of India. Although Sri Lanka has insisted that it has an India-first policy, Sibal has further said that these are diplomatic statements to disarm India diplomatically and that India is losing out not only in Sri Lanka but also in Nepal. He has pointed out that India cannot match China's resources for building infrastructure in countries such as Sri Lanka. And Sibal also added that Colombo has dismissed concerns that accepting Chinese funding could lead the island into a debt trap. Meanwhile, the Ceylon Today reports that the JVP Propaganda Secretary Vijitha Herath has said that the government is attempting to amend the Ceylon Petroleum Cooperation Act in a bid to sell the country's resources to private companies and foreign countries. Herath claimed that the new amendment, which was produced by the Minister of Energy, Uday Gammanpila, on the 21st of April, will give the minister the powers to issue licenses to import, distribute, store, refine, and sell oil to private companies. Addressing the Sri Lanka Investment Forum yesterday, Money and Capital Markets State Minister Cabral said that the clamour for lockdown is very strong, but it is needed to reflect the massive cost it has on the economy. Economies are not designed for lockdown, but for continuous progress. It cannot be stopped and restarted, and when that happens, there is a massive loss. He said Sri Lanka has so far spent 131 billion rupees on COVID control. Addressing the same event, IFC's Vice President for Asia and Pacific, Alfonso Garcia Mora, called for a greater focus on the private sector to support Sri Lanka's aspiration to return to upper middle income status in the medium term and to fully develop islands of excellence in the long term. He said that Sri Lanka can realize its development aspirations by promoting a private sector-led growth model, one that spurs further growth and creates jobs for its people through innovation and agility. Moving on to the COVID-19 situation, the Daily FT reports that health authorities yesterday confirmed 67 COVID-19-related deaths, the highest number confirmed in a single day. Meanwhile, Daily Mirror reports that according to Health Promotion Bureau Director Consultant Dr. Ranjit Batwanthudava, a considerable number of COVID deaths have been reported due to the delay in seeking immediate medical assistance. The morning newspaper reports that according to medical specialists, the current lockdown is useless. The Association of Medical Specialists has called the ongoing travel restrictions or lockdown, which have been designed to have minimal economic impact, as useless, as it provides very little benefit in combating the spread of COVID-19. The Association of Medical Specialists President Dr. Lakkumar Fernando has reportedly said that staggered lockdowns are useless and they have very little benefits. Meanwhile, Lankadipa Sinhala newspaper headline says that two high-ranking health officials from the Gaul district have been transferred for allowing those who came from Colombo to be vaccinated in Gaul in violation of quarantine regulations. The The Daily After reports that the main opposition, Samagya Janabalavegaya, yesterday called on the government to prioritize the well-being of the people instead of beautifying cities. SJP leader Sajit Premadasa questioned as to why the cabinet approved 2 billion rupees for beautification projects amidst a pandemic. Issuing a statement, the SJP labeled the move to allocate funds for city beautification projects as insensitive and ignorant. Premadasa urged the government to reconsider the decision. Meanwhile, Dinamina reports that Parle Champika Ranawaka says that the future of the SJP will be decided based on the opposition leader Sajit Premadasa's behaviour. The Daily Mirror reports that express feeders operators of the container ship Express Pearl insisted that there were no confirmed reports of an oil spill from the ship as of last evening. According to this news, foreign news agencies have published a satellite image of the area around the ship, saying it indicated there was an oil spill. However, the ship operator said that the situation on scene remains under observation with no signs of debris and no confirmed reports of fuel oil pollution as of 6 p.m. Sri Lanka local time yesterday. State Minister of Fisheries Kanchana Vijayasekara has told the Daily Mirror that debris from the ship which fell onto the sea on Sunday from the burnt ship may have been mistaken from the as oil. Daily Mirror reports that according to APE Janabala Party President Saman Pereira, the party will take measures to appoint Bodubala Sena General Secretary Galagoda Athenyana Sarathera as its National List MP after parliamentarian Athuraliye Ratanathera resigned from his MP seat. He has further said that Ratanathera had agreed to resign from his parliamentary seat after 3 months and hand it over to Ñanasarathera. Meanwhile, Vedinikama Vimala Tissathera, who claimed to be the APE Janabala Party General Secretary, has also nominated himself to the seat. That's all the news in the Sri Lankan News podcast today. If you find this podcast useful, please share it with others. If you would like to comment on any of the news we shared, please email us at srilankannewspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sri Lankan News Podcast. If you would like to stay updated about the daily news, politics and international relations of Sri Lanka, be sure to subscribe to this podcast.